For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Usually we are joined by this guest on Friday, but this week is going to be a little bit different with the NFL draft and with the Royals having an off day today. Today feels like the perfect time to have Josh Vernier join us on the show. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm very well. How are you, C-Dot?
Doing great. Vern, when you were 10 years old, who was your favorite wrestler?
1993, I may have just, now, is Stone Cold around in 1993? Because that's when I checked out, was the Attitude Era. Hulk Hogan was always my guy. I was the classic blonde-haired white kid out there.
I never knew this. So you didn't, you weren't like a Shawn Michaels,
no,
The Rock.
No,
you were, you were out
no,
at that
I was
point.
Take your vitamins, say your prayers. And once they stopped doing that, man, I was out. And that was around the time I realized, oh, this isn't real. And it kind of bummed me out.
When did the baseball bug get you?
Baseball did pretty early, first via cards and then video games and then making your first trip out there. And, you know, then the strike hits. And the team I followed growing up in Michigan, the Tigers, sucked once the strike hit and continued to suck for the next 20 years. So, you know, you had to pick a Team B, and I went with Frank Thomas and the Chicago White Sox, mainly because I was just such a big, big Hurt fan.
I mean, in hindsight, we don't give baseball players nicknames the way that we used to. Like, there's nobody with the nickname like the Big Hurt.
The Big Hurt. No, no. And that came from Hawk Harrelson. It normally comes from the announcer. I think Rex is the one that deemed Bobby Baseball. I think he's the one that gave Bobby Witt Jr. that nickname. So, Boobalicious. I think HUD gave Chris Bubich that nickname as well. So, it normally comes from the TV announcer or color commentary. And HUD did that for the Big Hurt, or excuse me, Hawk did that for the Big Hurts. We need HUD to come up with some more.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, do you want to start with the one game they won this week or the 6 games that they lost? I'll let you decide.
Let's start with the positive. I do think that there is something to take away from that game yesterday. You know, going into it, I thought we were going to learn something about the boys. Right, a 6-game losing streak, a 10-game road trip. No matter what happens, it comes to an end. We get to go home and enjoy our own beds and homes coming up tomorrow. Oh, boy, Tarek Skubal, a relentless Detroit Tigers team, and a lot of mistakes. You know, Royals made mistakes. Michael Wacha was good. He wasn't perfect. The defense was good. It wasn't perfect. Offensively, the bullpen, it was all good, but nothing was clean. Nothing was easy. Nothing was pretty, but they found a grimy way to snap the losing streak. And I think for a team that, even though it's a lot of the same names and the same faces, it is, as Denny's told us, has told you over the years, every year is different. I do think that this team is finding its 2025 identity, because as we've seen early on, to duplicate what they did last year, where three guys carry the offense and four guys carry the pitching staff, that's a pretty tough ask and almost impossible to replicate.
I know it seems very obvious and very straightforward, but I mean, yesterday was the blueprint. If this team can just score four runs consistently, I mean, this season, I know, very limited sample size, they are 7-1 in games in which they score at least four. They are 2-13 when they score three or fewer runs. It really seems like it's that simple. They gave themselves a chance because they scored at least four runs yesterday.
And the only reason they scored four runs is because Detroit gift-wrapped a two-base error for Bobby Witt Jr. to lead off the eighth inning, or else Royals lose that game more than likely 3-2, and we're talking about a seven-game losing streak, and people are diving off the bandwagon left and right. Yeah, it would be great if they could go out there and score four runs every single game. We were saying the same thing about the 2014 team, and they really were unable to do that. When they did, they won. Maybe this is what we're in store for in 2025, but boy, I refuse to believe that the offense is the worst in the American League. I refuse to believe that Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi are going to be this bad in the clutch situations. I tend to believe that the final 85% of the season offensively is going to be much better than what we've seen in the first 15%.
Right now, we're joined by our Royals insider, Josh Furner, going through some of the top storylines as the Royals have an off day. Let's talk about MJ Melendez. Are you surprised that they pulled the plug this early?
Yeah. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that it would take 23 games for them to pull the ripcord on MJ, of course I would have been surprised. Disappointed as well. Hopefully encouraged by Drew Waters. Hopefully this can lift him to a strong 2025, getting a small vote of confidence. But of course, the move is reflective of a young man that has lost his confidence and that obviously can't do anything offensively, can't hit anything outside of that, straight here it is fastball. So, surprised that MJ's in Omaha, but agree with it. It's tough to disagree when the guy is 4-47 to start off the season. Yes, he's playing some solid defense. Maybe you'll have a slight drop off there, but shoot, man, look around the diamond. The Royals are sacrificing defense for the possible offensive boost everywhere you look right now. They're sacrificing quite a bit to get anything offensively, and that's why you're going to see Mark Canna in the lineup every single day moving forward. You should see Michael Garcia in the lineup every single day, because these are the only guys that are shoehorning their way into the lineup on a daily basis, the only guys that are putting something of note forth. So Q has some confidence putting their name in the lineup. But, Royals have, 11 home runs in the first 23 games, by far the worst in Major League Baseball. To get rid of a guy in MJ Melendez, one of the few guys that has true home run power, it's certainly not something you're going to celebrate. You need him back. You want a good MJ. A good MJ makes this team a lot better.
Do you think there was a particular breaking point with MJ? Was this a scenario where they simply had to hand the fans something because the fans were starting to go restless with the offense? Was this something that was done to send a message in the locker room? I mean, you're right. I am surprised that they did this in the first month of the season. Usually the Royals display a little bit more patience than they did with MJ Melendez. I don't disagree with the decision at all. I think he needed time to clear his head down in Omaha. But just given the track record of this organization, I am surprised that they did this so quickly.
You dive into the numbers and you'll see exactly why. Sure, confidence is the main reason. If a kid's still confident, it's tough to work through issues at the big league level, but at least you're showing up to the ballpark with the expectation to win and how can I contribute to a win. But if all you're thinking about are your offensive failures, well, it's going to start affecting you on the base paths, defensively, in the dugout, in the clubhouse, and that's going to permeate, and this team obviously doesn't need that. But you dive into the numbers, and you'll see the opposition, outside of Max Fried, the lefty that gave up the home run to MJ Melendez, who's one of the best pitchers in the sport, so just thought I could sneak a 95 past MJ if I throw it right down the middle. You saw after that home run against Max Fried, MJ didn't see anything straight. And he wasn't going to see anything straight because the stats say he hasn't picked up a knock all year against a breaking ball. So, you know, the report was out. It was an automatic out in a history of, you know, we've seen a lot of automatic outs in our time in Kansas City. And, you know, MJ early on 2025 was adder near the top of that automatic out list of the past 15 years.
You and I both love the movie Major League. Is it time for Hunter Renfroe to be checking that locker to make sure that he doesn't have the red tag? I mean, if they're sending these kind of messages early on to MJ, I don't know why they wouldn't be considering doing it to Hunter Renfroe as well.
Yeah, Dozier, Renfroe, whatever. Yeah, all of them, sure. Chris Stratton as well. I don't know what they're bringing. You know, I don't know what they're putting in the bucket to help this team accumulate victories. You know, Listen, they're making money, and, you know, that's an uncomfortable knock on the door for J.J. Piccolo telling John Sherman, hey, the contract, the money that you are going to pay Chris Stratton, it's going to be for nothing. We're kicking him out. Hunter Renfroe, you're going to pay him for nothing as well. You know, Chris Stratton often is put into the games, give me six outs, give me two innings. Just throw strikes. I really don't care if you give up runs. Just get us through this god-awful game. Give me six outs. And he doesn't. He gives you five, and then you have to bring in Daniel Lynch, and then he's burned the next day. So Chris Stratton's not earning his roster spot. And Hunter Renfroe, you thought, even if he doesn't hit consistently, there would be the occasional extra base hit. There would be the occasional great throw from right field that helps you win a game, a defensive move, a defensive play that helps you win a game. Now, his defense is well below average. His arm has made one play all season. His arm has made me shake my head more than it's made my, you know, eyes expand. So, yeah, Hunter Renfroe, Chris Stratton, I don't know what they bring to the team right now.
I have not watched a second of Rockies baseball. I mean, probably since Troy Tulowitzki was in Denver. All I know is that they're terrible. Is there any other analysis that we need for this series other than you cannot lose 2 of 3 at home to a team that is 4-17? They're already 11.5 games back in their division, and they've already fired their hitting coach. You cannot lose 2 of 3 to that team.
And their best player just went on the IL in Ezekiel Tovar. I agree. And you're at home. You know, if the Royals are who we thought they were or who we hope they're going to be, you win your series at home. If you're a playoffs or bust ball club, if you're one of those second-tier teams we talked about on Friday, yeah, you take 2 of 3 from Colorado, even if they have their all-star pitcher going on Wednesday, even if they have their top prospect going in the finale on Thursday afternoon, top prospect that nobody in this Royals lineup has ever faced before with a big old fastball. C-Dot, you and I have seen that story plenty of times over the past decade and a half. I'm nervous about the finale, grateful that Cole Reagans is on the hill, but nervous that we could be staring down a 1-1 game coming up in the finale. Take 2 of 3, no doubt about it. But this offense needs to give me a little bit more hope before I'm going into it. Confident that we'll get 2 of 3. Marquez and Dolander in those final two games. I wish this wasn't true, but I am kind of nervous.
All right, I'll get you out of here with these last two things. The first thing is, you could have made up any name when you told me that Colorado's best player was not playing, and I would have believed you. I'm not even sure if the name you gave was like an actual human being or a real person or not. You said it so confidently, so I believe you that that's a real player. But you could have said anybody, and I would have been like, oh, yeah, Vern,
good point.
How
many teams are there like that? Because you speak for the masses right now. The Rockies, Nationals, Marlins.
They still got Strasburg on the Nationals?
Nope. Nope. He's been.
They got Juan Soto. He's gone now, too, huh?
Nope. I would say, and this is, if you want an example of where Major League Baseball is, I mean, you guys are about to talk about the NFL draft and who every team in the NFL is going to pick in the first round. And the average listener can vibe with that, can understand all 32 NFL teams and what their need is. C-Dot, I would say 20% of the league. The 20% of the teams in the league, the average listener right now can't name the best player on the team, right? Six of the 30 teams. I think that's fair. 20%.
last thing here as well. We'll go off the baseball path just because I believe everybody has this and you watch enough college football. Who is the quarterback that you were convinced that they were going to be a good NFL starter and it just didn't work out?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I wouldn't say that I was convinced that no, I didn't believe in Joey Harrington just because he was drafted by the Lions. But I was excited. I was excited when I watched him. He tore it up, I believe, in the Rose Bowl at Oregon. And then they drafted. Oh, my God, I was so excited. So, yeah, I guess I'll say Joey Harrington. It's so embarrassing. It was more of my fandom than it was any sort of football acumen that I have. It was just, boy, he could be the answer. And, boy, was he certainly. I thought Jay Cutler. I thought Jay Cutler was going to take the Browns to the or take the Bears to the Super Bowl. I was wrong about that. I didn't think Cam Newton would be as good as he was.
You
go ahead.
You weren't a Cam Newton guy?
I wasn't convinced that he would be what he became, and I think that's a Hall of Famer. I thought he'd be good. I didn't think he would be the best player in the NFL like he was back in 2015.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, enjoy your day off. I promise you, I will not bother you until next Friday. So it's going to be a long time since, and I won't even be here next Friday. It's a long time, man, since I'll talk to
you. I'm going to miss you, bud. Take care.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. I want to read one thing to you guys. I'm not here to pass judgment on Shannon Sharp. Now, some of you know Shannon Sharp was accused of sexual assault, and it is obviously a very, very serious matter. He has released a long statement with some text messages and says that this woman was not all on the up and up. I'm not here to give you any commentary about this. I don't have much commentary. I don't know. I want to read to you one text message that this woman, who clearly in a relationship of some matter with Shannon Sharp, romantic, physical, whatever it was, they were involved in some kind of relationship with one another. And I'm just saying, if someone sends you this text, I don't know why you continue engaging in a relationship with this person. She texts Shannon Sharp, "You better crave it because you're going to be stuck for life after you put a big black baby in me." This woman texts Shannon Sharp this. Why did you continue talking to her after that? She said other text messages before that I just wanted to give you, that was the PG version of the text messages. She said way wilder things than that to Unk. Why were you entertaining this woman? Rob, have you seen some of these text messages she sent? Shannon, come on, my brother. You're too old, man. You're too old, brother. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what kind of stuff y'all was into, and I'm not here to judge. I actually believe this part of the statement that he agreed. These messages are just a sampling of a broader pattern of a graphic physical communication initiated by her. The evidence paints a clear picture. This was a consensual adult relationship that included role-playing, language, fantasy scenarios requested by her. I don't know nothing about that. I'm just telling you, if that's a text message you get from another person, you know what I want you to do? Block that number. That woman's crazy. I'm telling you that right now. That woman crazy. I don't have anything else. If you were just minding your business, minding your day, and you get that little bzzz in your pocket, and you check your Apple Watch, and that's a text that young lady unprompted sends to you, I want you to call the authorities. I want you to alert the authorities immediately because that woman is not well. Rob, she's suing Shannon Sharp for $50 million. $50 million.
Who does she think she is? Chelsea Clinton? $50 million. Godspeed, brother. That's it. I just wanted to read that to you. I would encourage you guys to read it for yourself. If you were interested in this, Shannon Sharp is being sued by a young lady. Her name is Gabriella Zunga. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. Godspeed to both of them. Rob, let's move on. I would like to play this audio clip for you guys, unrelated to anything we just spent the last 4 minutes talking about. This is the audio when the Chiefs drafted Tyson Jackson.
With the third pick in the 2009 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Tyson Jackson, defensive end, LSU.
Man,
the Seahawks are
Tyson Jackson played in the four-man front, but will play in the three-man front. He's 6'4 and 296. Quick enough to play defensive end in a four-man front. He is scheme diverse. And in Scott Pioli's scheme, he will play the defensive end ultimately in a 3-4 defense. So it goes back to what Marshall said. Scott Pioli believes, and you can see him right here, that was a five technique type of play, a two-gap type of play. He got extension, controlled the tackle in front of him. Watch the athleticism. Tebow, he's got that little option throw inside, makes the play, finishes the hit. How about as an edge rusher? Remember, he won't be doing this in his new scheme. But at 296, very quick. I like his hand use. Heavy hands, beats the tackle, and accelerates to the quarterback.
That was the audio whenever the Chiefs selected Tyson Jackson. They had those back-to-back years where they got the LSU defensive lineman. They got Tyson Jackson 1 year. They got Glenn Dorsey the other year. Glenn Dorsey at least turned out to, I would say, be a pretty productive NFL player. He left the Chiefs, went to go play for San Francisco, played for a little bit. That ain't how it really went for Tyson Jackson. That really isn't how it went. Let me ask you this, because I would assume that there is a more modern answer to this question. Do you have, like, Chiefs draft scar tissue when it comes to some of these players? You know, like if the Chiefs drafted a running back in round one, let's say that they took Omarion Hampton at 31. Now, you and I both like Hampton. I wouldn't mind if they took him at 31. I wouldn't draft him at 31. But you and I both know if they took a running back at 31, he will instantly be compared to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Well, remember the last time we did this? It didn't work. Now we're doing it again. What are they doing? You know that's how it instantly would be. Do you personally have Chiefs draft scar tissue? Is there a player, a position that if they drafted, you would get worried if they did it?
Not in the Brett Veach era. And I don't know if the running back thing constitutes scar tissue. I would be vehemently opposed to any running back at 31, but that has a lot more to do with positional value than it does scar tissue. Like maybe it's because Brett Veach has been very good at this, but it's not like, oh no, another LSU defensive lineman, here we go again. I would feel any sort of way about it. I mean, maybe Breland Speaks leads to a little bit of scar tissue, but that was so, so long ago. I don't think Brett Veach and his tenure at the Chiefs GM carries that, oh, he drafted another bad, you know, Ohio State running back. How will they ever overcome? It's just that I don't think that exists because Brett Veach has cleansed Kansas City of a lot of those demons. There was a time there where it felt like, oh no, another LSU. But if they took a D line from LSU this weekend, I don't think fans are going to say, here we go again. They're going to be like, oh yeah, we trust Brett Veach.
Are fans going to feel that way if they draft an offensive lineman in the second or third round? Because they've done that the last couple of years. I know it hasn't been from a specific school, but the last couple of years, they have not taken one in round one, and they've waited to rounds two and round three to take a swing on offensive line. Are Chiefs fans going to say, well, you drafted Kingsley, it didn't work? Now we see. I think the jury's still out, but you guys get the point. You guys drafted Wanya Morris. I think it's safe to say that is not working. There is not really a place for him on the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. I do wonder if there's going to be that scar tissue that gets built up. Coming up on the other side, I went to WrestleMania. I will tell you guys my story. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck?
Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
I'm going to tell you guys some personal stories. If you are expecting hard-hitting sports conversations, I would suggest you come back in 10 minutes. But to make up for this little detour that we are going to take, Andy Reid's press conference, we're going to play that for you at 4 o'clock, and Trent McDuffie is going to call in today. You know, is it yin and a yang on today's show? So I don't know if I've ever told you guys this before, but me and my younger cousin are very, very close. On my mom's side, it was mostly girl cousins, and he was the only other boy. So he's the only other person I had to play with. So it's more big brother, little brother than maybe like a traditional cousin relationship. That is just how things have evolved as we've gotten older. So my cousin is a big Raiders fan and a big wrestling fan. And I could tell he really wanted to go to WrestleMania. Like, he would just kind of mention it and like, man, I wish I could go. And one day I just said, well, I'll take you. We can go. He's like, for real? I'm like, yeah. Like, I wouldn't feel right knowing that I had the ability to help you and I didn't help you. Let's go. So he's all excited. So Rob, his first ever Vegas trip, we went to WrestleMania. You know what? I came away with some very big takeaways after spending essentially the last 2 days, all I've done is watch wrestling. I watched a little bit of the Royals this weekend, but who wants to watch the Royals and not score when you're in Vegas? Like, I didn't watch a whole lot of Royals this weekend. I went to multiple wrestling shows, and I watched every second of the last 2 days of WrestleMania, and I went to one of the days of WrestleMania. I did come away with one big takeaway. I have never seen a community like wrestling fans. Maybe I see it in sports, and it's just different because I am in the middle of it. Like, Chiefs fans are obviously very passionate, right? I had never seen any... Rob, they walk around dressed like the wrestlers. They walk around wearing these, like, authentic belts. Everybody, they just walk around like this. They're, like, really into it. They even know, so I went to this thing, it's called NXT, Rob. It's like they're like minor league, the double A. I don't know what the equivalent is. You know wrestling better than me, text line. I went to this thing. I mean, everybody there is locked in. They're doing the chants. They know all the people. My cousin, he's telling me, I was a little confused. I didn't really know what was going on, but everybody seemed really, really into it. I had never seen anything like that before where just everybody was very, very engaged at what was going on. Rob, you and I go to baseball games. Some of the people in baseball games are just there because it's a nice outdoor activity. You don't really care who wins. You know, you're just there to get a hot dog. You're just there to get a beer. You're kind of paying attention to the game. You're on your phone. You're doing all these. That is not how these people were. Not at all. I mean, all of them very much into everything that was happening. I never seen anything like that before. That's number one. Number two, I came away with a very great appreciation for how athletic they are. I don't know if that translates as well on television until you go and see it. Rob, you've seen some of these people. Very big human beings they are. Very big people. They're running around and jumping and flying, and I'm sitting here like, I don't know if you're supposed to do that at your size. Even the ladies in the women's matches, super athletic individuals. I had absolutely no clue. Now, it is hard kind of popping in the middle of this because, Rob, they'll be booing somebody, and I'll be like, why do we not like this person? I don't know why I don't like this person. It made me want to cheer for him because everybody didn't want to see these people win. But they were like very passionate about booing some people and then not booing other people. I had absolutely no clue why we were booing them. Now, I will say, after going to it, I like wrestling on television more than I liked watching it, at least in a football stadium. We had decent seats. They weren't like the best seats, but, you know, up a little bit, right in the middle, really good view. I found myself watching it on the monitor, and then when you're watching it on the TV, you really realize like how well produced it is as a television show. You don't really think about it in that sense, but when you kind of see it in the zooms and the cuts and the replays and the commentary, you realize how all of it matters to create, I would say, a pretty entertaining package. From the crowd, from the reactions, to the excitement, to the cuts, and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I came away thinking, I understand why people like this. Not really my cup of tea. I don't really have a desire to go back to WrestleMania in any way. But I will say, I came away like, hey, I get this. I get how you guys have decided this is your favorite television show. I think that's how you got to look at it. I don't think you can look at it like a sport in that sense. I don't think it's a sport in that sense. I think you got to look at it as these people are really passionate about Game of Thrones. These people are really passionate about a popular television show. And once I started looking at it like that and looking at it through the characters and the storylines and the ups and downs, it actually was not a bad weekend of events. I got opinion on all of it. The main event, terrible. Now, I don't know much about wrestling, but I do know what's entertaining and not entertaining. And I can tell you, all weekend, they were hyping up this Cody Rhodes and John Cena. This is supposed to be the greatest match of all time. I'm like, okay, all right. I mean, I've never seen Cody Rhodes wrestle before, but I'm thinking it's going to be a great time. Rob, it was not a great time. Why in the world was Travis Scott there?
Why was The Rock not there?
It didn't make any sense. No, none. Made absolutely no sense. Was very confused at why Travis Scott came out. The people didn't really seem very excited when Travis Scott was there. I will say, the two things that they got most excited for, there's some guy, and you guys that watch wrestling would know, His name's like Joe Henley. He came out. He was like the special wrestler against Randy Orton. I'm telling you, you would have thought Taylor Swift appeared. People were very, very excited for his appearance. And out of nowhere, the glass shatters. And I do know enough about wrestling that when the glass shatters, that means Stone Cold is coming out there. He came out in this little ATV. I was at least kind of excited to see Stone Cold as somebody that did watch wrestling when he was out there. And he almost killed somebody on an ATV. I did see that as well. Almost hurt that woman on the ATV.
I'm not a wrestling fan. I don't have any problem with people who are wrestling fans, but I'm not a fan. I went to a Raw when it was, or maybe it was a SmackDown. I went to a wrestling event when it was at T-Mobile Center, previously Sprint Center, because I wanted to see it. The kind of same way we talked about, I went to go see UFC. I just want to see it. I understand now why people like it, because it is a perfectly packaged television program. It doesn't hit the same live. Like, it feels like, you know, you don't have the closeness, the microphone. They're cutting promos, but it's, you know, there's 500 people in the crowd chanting and screaming, so you can't hear it well. Like, we talk about how the NFL is a great television product. Wrestling might be one of those things, and I don't want to call it a sport, where it's light years better on television than in person, because it just, the stuff's not hitting the same when you're sitting in section 215.
I will say that some of the women's wrestlers, I was a little unaware. I had never heard of this Tiffany Stratton character until this weekend. I'm a fan. That's what I left. I left a fan of Tiffany Stratton. Big fan, actually. Biggest. Huge fan. I like Liv Morgan, too. I did come away like, oh, okay, I kind of like them. Yeah, I came away with that a little bit. Allegiant was nice. It didn't, like, blow me away. I'd never been inside of it before. I seen it from the outside. Allegiant didn't blow me away. Now, I think it's because, I mean, the only other, like, new stadium I've been to is the Cowboys Stadium. And when you go to the Cowboys Stadium, it is just, it is impressive. I didn't get that sense from Allegiant, but it was nice. You know, the little torch was cool. It was a nice venue. Allegiant was a nice stadium. It just didn't, like, blow me away. It felt like a more modern, updated version of the Superdome in New Orleans. That's kind of what it felt like to me. The newer, improved version of it. But no, I had a very, very good time at WrestleMania. I will not be back at WrestleMania. At least I could actually see myself going to the city of WrestleMania and just hanging out and having a good time. I don't have a desire to go back inside. It was, you know what? It was a one-time thing. I'm happy to say that I checked that off my bucket list, and I can now move on in life knowing that I saw John Cena win his 17th heavyweight championship. All right, we'll get back to football coming up on the other side. The NFL draft is 3 days away, round one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, They've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
All right, you know what? Let's not talk about the NFL draft. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we will head to Arrowhead to catch up with Andy Reid. He is doing a press conference. Trip McDuffie is scheduled to call in at 4:30. This just broke. I think it's more important than talking about the draft. So you guys know Jack Caglione. He was the sixth overall pick in the 2024 baseball draft. The player who was the fourth overall pick just got called up. His name is Nick Kurtz. He has played 20 games in AAA. He's played 20 games in AAA. He has already been called up at 22 years old. Now, I would say twofold. Number one, this is something to track. If you are one of the individuals that wants to see Cags called up as quickly as possible, another player from his draft class is going to be a very good case study of how quickly can you accelerate this thing. I mean, there are a lot of similarities. He played 3 years at Wake Forest. He then played minimal. He has played 32 minor league baseball games and has already gotten the call up from the, are we just calling them the Athletics? Are they the Oakland A's, the Sacramento A's?
They're just the A's.
They want
to be Vegas, but they can't be Vegas because they're not playing in Vegas, and they can't be Sacramento. So they're just
they don't have a team name. They're just the Athletics. That's it. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure how that works. They are just the Athletics. So they have already made this move. Now, that's part one. Is this is something I think is very, very meaningful to track. How does he look? Is he somebody that struggles when he comes up here, or is he somebody that is having success? All right. The second part of this is if Jack Caglione wants to get called up quickly, he has to make it undeniable. I would say that Nick Kurtz made it undeniable. He's hit 7 home runs in their 20 games. He's hitting .321. He has an on-base percentage of .385. His OPS is over 1,000. He has made it undeniable. I'm ready. And he's doing that also in AAA. He was in Las Vegas. So he's doing this at AAA level. He's hitting .300. He's got an OPS of over 1,000, an on-base percentage. We think you are ready to come play Major League Baseball. Now, let's obviously see how he does. I would say that Cags has not made it undeniable at this point. Now, he has only played in 15 games, but he is hitting .258 with an on-base percentage of .329, and his OPS is .813. He has not played close to what Nick Kurtz has done so far in his career. So, maybe I was wrong. We had this conversation, it was like 6 weeks ago, about guys and how long it takes them usually to come up. I think we are seeing a new day here, so to speak, that teams are more willing to fast-track guys than maybe ever before and get them up to the big league level. If Cags is going to come up at some point in the next 90 days, you got to make it where they can't afford to continue to keep you down there. And with the start that you've had, and I'm not saying it's wrong, you're 22 years old in AA, everybody is not making it to the major leagues in less than a month the way that he did. you're going to have to make it where they can't afford to keep you there. Where if you want to put pressure on the big league club, you got to make it where you're hitting 370. You got an incredible on-base percentage and you are really forcing them to make a decision. I think the Royals have a little bit of time now with Cags because he got off to that blistering hot start in that first 2-3 games or so. And if he was hitting 400 and doing this, he'd be the number one story in Kansas City right now. But the fact that he has cooled off, again, understandably, not passing any level of criticism, but the fact that he has cooled off and he's not the A side of the story anymore, it just buys the Royals time to eventually call him up.
I understand, and we will. We'll track how Kurtz does for the Athletics compared to how Cags is doing in AAA, or AA, excuse me. And I agree with you. He needs to make it undeniable. I also think the A's versus the Royals are in different situations. The A's, I know they are performing better than most people anticipated, but what's the ceiling this year for the A's? Being a feisty 75-win team? Like, the A's are not competing for anything. And I know the Royals have started out slow, but I think you're more willing to give some major league at-bats and let's let him grow at this level if you're the A's because, hey, we got bigger things on the horizon. We want to be good in 26-27 when we're in Vegas. Let's get him as major league ready now as we can. Where I think the Royals, albeit their offense has been bad and they are not playing up to the standard we believe, I think because they can maybe do both, they can become a playoff team and wait on Cags and show some patience, that's the best play for the Royals. Now, if, you know, Cags, you know, OPS jumps in the 900s down AA, you got to do something. But I think in the Royals' perfect world, they're winning at the major league level and developing him at the minor league level, and they have a serious conversation about what happens next in November of this year because they're trying to figure out 25.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will hear from Andy Reid as he is getting you ready for the NFL draft. We are taking trips back today to hear how draft experts felt about various first-round picks for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here is the drafting of Dwayne Bowe.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Dwayne Bowe, wide receiver, well, LSU.
Well, there's one of your values, Mel. So they go wide receiver. How would they have Eddie Kennison and then... What do they have? I mean,
Eddie Kennison was their leading receiver last year with 53 catches. I'm still surprised. You know, Herm Edwards, you know, his philosophy is, hey, we're going to run the football, but obviously,
this is a great pick for them. You got a wide receiver who's big, who's strong, who uses his hands. They're bringing in a new quarterback that can have a guy like this help him out. Now, Eddie Kennison isn't going into his 12th year, but he can be a complement of this guy as he learns how to play the position and teaches him the do's and the don'ts about playing in the National Football League.
As long as the quarterback has time to get the ball to Dwayne Bowe and those receivers, that's a big question mark with the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't fill all your needs with one pick. I realize that, but I think when you look at Dwayne Bowe, big receiver with decent speed and certainly had a huge year along with Jamarcus Russell. That was his primary target. You had Craig Davis on the other side. Davis could be anywhere between the second and third round pick. A lot of depth. They went 3 and 4 deep at wide receiver, but a big wide out who had a great end to a season. Had some drops early on, but finished up as a very productive, very consistent option. I just wonder about big time about that offensive line at Kansas City. It looks, you know, about looking awful on paper on the field this year. That's going to be a major issue that they're going to have to address in the picks to come.
That was Mel Kiper giving you his thoughts on Dwayne Bowe. You know what I miss for the Chiefs, and maybe they'll just never have this player again. I kind of miss when they had the bigger physical receiver. You know, that's not really the Andy Reid staple. They like a 5'10", 180, wiry speedster receiver. Dwayne Bowe is 6'2", 220. You know, I kind of miss having that big target. Has Pat's never had that player, right?
DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I mean,
he had the body type. I'm not saying he was at his prime, but...
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I was actually thinking Kelvin Benjamin, so that was the name that first came into my mind.
That's a guy they definitely never had.
Yeah, no, he was around, but he wasn't around. But yeah, they've never given Patrick Mahomes a 6'2", 225, big physical receiver. You know what? Maybe he would flourish with that type. I don't know. That's not really the kind that they give him. In fact, you know what? They did give him a big physical receiver. He just couldn't run past anybody when they eventually gave it to him. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll hear from Andy Reid as we're getting you ready for the NFL draft. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.